Chapter 10, How to Worship. Objectives. Upon completion of this chapter, you will be able to write the key verse from memory, summarize what the Bible teaches about how to worship, explain the relationship between the fire, the glory, and worship. Key verse, Psalm 150, 4. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Introduction. You already learned that you must worship in spirit and truth, but specifically, how should you worship? What type of worship is acceptable in this new tabernacle of David, which God is restoring? Worship in the Bible was very reverent at times. People fell on their faces, meditated, and were silent before God. But worship was also joyous, noisy, and exuberant. It was said of Israel, "The shout of the king is among them." When there was noise in the tabernacle, God's presence was there. When there was no noise, He was not present. Some people object to this type of exuberant worship. They say it is indecent and out of order. But the Bible does say, "Let all things be done in decency and order." But the emphasis should be on, "Let all things be done." 1 Corinthians 14:40. Some think exuberant worship is foolish and unnecessary, but the Bible reveals a link between what appears to be foolish in our thinking and God's power and blessing. Consider these foolish things. Moses lifting his rod over the Red Sea and the waters parting. Israel shouting and the walls of Jericho falling down. Gideon and 300 men with pitchers, lanterns, and trumpets overcoming a Midian army. The blind man washing in Siloam pool to receive sight. Naaman washing in the muddy Jordan River for healing of leprosy. Peter finding tax money in the mouth of fish. In this lesson, you will learn both reverent and exuberant ways to worship God. Worship is one of the greatest biblical principles of mobilization, for true worship motivates and mobilizes people for God. How to worship. Here are some biblical ways to worship the Lord. Serving. Your greatest ministry of serving is praise and worship. But you also worship as you serve Him by doing God's work on the basis of His truth. For example, one way of serving God is by responding to the call to go and teach all nations. Giving. Repeatedly in the Old and New Testament records, giving of material resources was part of the regular service and considered an act of worship. Keeping silent before Him. This silent attitude of reverence includes meditating on God and His Word. Zechariah 2:13, "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord." Worshiping with your mouth. Science has proven that, like fingerprints, each human voice has what is called a print. Your voice print, like your fingerprint, is different from all other voices. God knows your voice and waits to hear it lifted in praise to Him daily. Here are some ways you can use your voice to worship God. Speaking praise. Hebrews 13:15. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips is worshiping God, speaking praise. Was a practice of the first Christians, Luke 24:53, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Is the will of God for every Christian, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Is proof of the Spirit-filled life, Ephesians 5:18 and 20. Be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is a chief function of the royal priesthood, believers, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, provides access to his presence, Psalm 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name, was commanded in a message from the throne, Revelation 19:5. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Is your obligation as long as you have breath? Psalm 150:6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Is a habit to be practiced all day long? Psalm 113:3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Is a test of discipleship. John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Can be done by even aged saints. Psalm 92:14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Results in satisfaction. Proverbs 12:14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Speaking in tongues. Read 1 Corinthians 14:14 to 18 in your Bible. Your praise is perfected when you worship in your heavenly tongue. This is why Paul said he was glad he did it more than anyone. Shouting. Shouting was used to praise God from the beginning of time, Job 38:7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Psalm 65:13, creation shouts for joy and sings. Isaiah 44:23, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified him in Israel. Here are some things the Bible teaches about shouting. God has gone up with a shout, Psalm 47:5. Jesus will return with a shout, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. When there was no joy and gladness, there is no shouting, Jeremiah 48:33. In the natural world, when you attend a sports event and do not understand the game, you do not know when to shout for your favorite team. The same is true spiritually. If the non-shouters really understood what was going on in the spiritual realm, they would be shouting. Jesus has conquered our enemy. We are saved from death and have eternal life. He is our healing and provision. How can we not feel a shout arising within us? Here are some occasions when shouting was used in the Bible. Shouting because of the presence of God. The world took note when there was the shout of a king among them, Numbers 23:21. 1 Chronicles 15:28. When the ark was brought up, all Israel shouted with the sound of the cornet, with the trumpets, with the cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. 1 Samuel 4:5 and 6. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. Shouting at the revelation of God, Leviticus 9:24, they shouted and fell on their faces. Shouting in commitment, 2 Chronicles 15:14, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. Shouting because of the work of the Lord. They shouted aloud for joy when the foundation of God's house was laid, Ezra 3:11 to 13. Shouting in warfare. The walls of Jericho fell down with a shout, Joshua 6. Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, Joshua 6:16. David came to the battlefield and shouted for the battle, 1 Samuel 17:20. God's army shouted when they pursued the Philistines, 1 Samuel 17:52. When the wicked perished, there is shouting, 11:10. Psalm 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. 2 Chronicles 13:15. The men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote the enemy. 4:7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings. We are commanded to shout. 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. 47:1. O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. 132:9. Let thy saints shout for joy. 132:16. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. 12:6. Cry aloud and shout, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. 3:14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. 9:9. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just and having salvation. 31:7. Shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye. Laughter is also a way of expressing verbal praise to God. 126:1-3. When the Lord turned against the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Singing. Music and worship service is not a preliminary to the main event of preaching. It is part of the main event, which is worship. 8 separate words are translated sing in the Old Testament. One means to shout or sing aloud for joy. Another means a shrill sound, a sound of gladness and rejoicing. Another means a joyful sound of singing and triumphing. Singing spiritual songs provides a ready-made vocabulary with which to praise God and enables unity in response as we all sing together. David was always urging others to join him in singing songs of worship. Satan knows the power of music and singing. This is why he has used evil music to spread his lies. 3:16 and 5:19 provide instructions on singing in worship. We are to use 1. Psalms from the hymn book of Israel, which is the book of Psalms in the Bible. 2. Hymns, songs about God and his attributes, and songs addressed to God. 3. Spiritual songs, songs from the heart, singing in the spirit and with understanding. Singing from the spirit is not the same as singing from the intellect. Sometimes God moves through a certain song of praise. When he does, do not be afraid to keep flowing with it. Do not let reason and intellect say you have sung it too many times. We are warned about singing idle songs, music without meaning. 6:5, Revised Standard Version. We should sing songs of deliverance, 6:23, and praise, 68:4. The ministry of music is important in worship services. David selected 4,000 Levites for musical service. In 1 Chronicles 25:6-7, he speaks of those that were instructed in the songs of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 5:12-14, when Israel began to praise the Lord with music and singing, God's glory filled the temple. Jesus said in Hebrews 2:12, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." Praising God with instruments. David is credited with making many instruments of worship, although we do not know exactly which ones he invented. Amos 6:5, there are three types of instruments mentioned in the Bible. 1. Percussion instruments, bells on the hems of priest's garments, Exodus 28:33-35, and Zechariah 14:20. Cymbals, 1 Chronicles 15:16-19-28, 2 Chronicles 5:13, 2 Chronicles 29:25, Ezra 3:10, Nehemiah 12:27. Translation of the word cymbal in some places is equivalent to modern-day castanets and shakers. Tambourine, also called tambret or timbrel. Psalm 81:2, Psalm 149:3, Psalm 150:4, Exodus 15:20. Gong, 1 Corinthians 13:1. In Psalm 150, two types of cymbals or gongs are mentioned, loud and high sounding. 2. Stringed instruments, harp, 1 Samuel 10:5, psaltery, viol, and sackbut, which was similar to the harp, and the 10-stringed rectangular zither, Psalm 33:2, Psalm 144:9, Psalm 92:3. Dulcimer, similar to a harp, Daniel 3:5, 7, 10, and 15. Lute, a 3-stringed instrument. Lyre, a stringed instrument, Genesis 4:21. 3. Wind instruments. Clarinet, Isaiah 5:12, Isaiah 30:29, Jeremiah 48:36. This is translated some places as pipe. Pipe and organ, Genesis 4:21, 1 Samuel 10:5. In 1 Kings 1:40, a double reed instrument equivalent to the modern oboe is mentioned. Flute, Isaiah 30:29. Shofar and trumpet. Shofar is used interchangeably with trumpet. This instrument was used to terrorize the enemy, Judges 7:19-20, and for signaling, Joshua 6:20, Judges 7:16-22, Zechariah 9:14-15. John heard sound of trumpet before his vision in Revelation, Revelation 1:10, and the trumpet is a symbol of judgment, 1 Corinthians 15:52, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, Revelation 8:3. The shofar is still used today to call Jewish people to worship. Here are some verses that encourage us to praise God with instruments. Psalm 150:3-5. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Psalm 144:9. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Psalm 147:7. Sing praise unto the harp, unto our God. Psalm 33:2. Praise the Lord with harp. Worshiping with your body. Man was never created to be soul, spirit, or body alone. He is a triune being composed of all three. You cannot worship only with your spirit and or soul. You must also worship with your body. Sometimes we resist doing this because we do not want to make a spectacle of ourselves. We are afraid we will get in the flesh. But when we are able to overcome our pride and rebellion, we will break through into a beautiful flow of praise and worship. Here are some reasons why we resist worshiping with our body. 1. Pride. 2. We are uncomfortable because we have never done it before. 3. Traditions of man that say we do not do that here. 4. We do not realize it is commanded. 5. We realize it is commanded, but we are rebellious and do not want to do it. When we overcome these objections and begin to worship with our body, as well as our soul and spirit, the glory of the Lord will move in our midst. Here are some ways to worship with your body. Standing in His presence. See 2 Chronicles 20:19, Ezekiel 44:15, Psalm 135:1 to 2, Psalm 134 for examples of people standing to worship God. Lifting up your hands. You are to lift up holy hands, which is a biblical way of expressing thanks to God. Psalm 63:3 and 4. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. It is a symbolic way of expressing ascending worship. Psalm 141:2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You are lifting up your heart in worship when you lift up your hands. Lamentations 3, we are lifting up our hearts in our hands. Lifting your hands is a way of expressing spiritual thirst. Psalm 143, 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. When you lift up your hands, you are opening up to God and saying, come and fill me with your presence. Lifting up of hands is also used in giving a benediction as a way of blessing others in God. Jesus returned to the Father with hands lifted, interceding for those he loved and blessing them. Luke 24:50 and 51. It silently confirms God's word. Psalm 119:48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. The Bible encourages it. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The Bible also commands it. Psalm 134:2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Clapping. Psalm 47:1. O clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Bowing and kneeling. Bowing can refer to the head or the entire body. Read the following verses for examples of bowing and kneeling as a form of worship. Genesis 24:48, Exodus 4:31, Exodus 12:27, 1 Chronicles 29:20 and 30, 2 Chronicles 6:13, 1 Kings 8:54, Nehemiah 8:6, Daniel 6:10, Matthew 17:14, Mark 1:40, Mark 10:17, Luke 22:41, Acts 7:60, Acts 9:40, Acts 20:36, Acts 21:50. We are commanded to bow down and worship. Psalm 95:6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. The Bible says that every knee shall bow before the Lord. Isaiah 45:23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Romans 14:11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Philippians 2:10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When Paul speaks of our knowledge of the gospel and our position in the church and Jesus, he says this is the reason why we should bow down. Ephesians 3:13 and 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the importance of bowing, the Bible warned of the results of bowing to false gods. Exodus 23:24, Leviticus 26:1, Deuteronomy 5:9, Numbers 25:2, Joshua 23:7, Judges 2:12, 17, and 19. 1 Kings 19:18, Romans 11:4, 2 Kings 17:35, 2 Chronicles 25:14. Walking and leaping. Walking and leaping can also be combined with worshiping God. David leaped before the ark when it was returning to Israel, 2 Samuel 6:16. The lame man who was healed walked and leaped and praised God, Acts 3:8. If the glory of God and signs such as healing were apparent in more of our services, maybe we would see more people leaping in praise and worship. Dancing. The first record of dancing before the Lord is found in Exodus, Exodus 15:20, and Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Immediately Satan polluted the dance, Exodus 32:19. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. We read in 1 Samuel 18:6 that they sang and danced about Saul and David, who had killed thousands and 10,000s. How much more should we of him who has defeated our enemy? David danced before the Lord, 2 Samuel 6:14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. His wife Michal criticized, and she was struck barren. 2 Samuel 6:16-17, 1 Chronicles 15:29-30. She was in rebellion to start with because David had called all Israel together for the return of the ark, and she did not come. She stayed in her own little corner and looked on haughtily, rationalizing and criticizing. Here are some important facts about Michal. 1. She was a daughter of the king, 1 Samuel 14:19, 1 Samuel 18:20-27. 2. She was a bride of David, 1 Samuel 18:27. 3. She was a purchase of blood, 1 Samuel 18:25-27. 4. She loved her husband and had risked her life for him, 1 Samuel 18:20. 5. David loved her and refused to be crowned king until she was restored to him, 1 Samuel 19:12. Yet despite all these things, because she despised the exuberant form of David's worship, she was barren. Micah is a type of the church who are the children of the king, the bride of Christ, loved of him, purchased with his blood, and who will be restored to Christ. Could our spiritual barrenness sometimes be the result of our haughty, rational, criticizing attitudes towards various forms of worship described in Scripture? In the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, the self-righteous older brother criticized the rejoicing and dancing. Yet the Bible says similar joy is going on in heaven when a sinner repents, Luke 15:10. Dancing is related to joy in the Lord. God wants to turn your mourning into dancing. Psalm 30:11. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Jeremiah 31:13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, for I will turn their mourning into joy. The Bible says there is a time to dance, Ecclesiastes 3:4, and even commands us to dance before the Lord. Psalm 149:3. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. Psalm 150:4. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. The fire, the glory, and worship. In chapter 3 of this course, you began a study of the fire, the glory, and worship of God. These three powerful mobilizing spiritual forces are intricately related. We long for a revelation of God's glory, but we have not yet experienced the refining of his powerful fire. We long to worship, but our efforts fall short because it is self-motivated rather than flowing from the revelation of God's glory. The fire of God, with its powerful purging and cleansing, is necessary in order for the glory of God to be revealed. The revelation of the glory of God then results in true worship as we restore the tabernacle of David by worshiping in spirit and truth. This was a pattern experienced in the Old Testament: the fire, the glory, then worship. 2 Chronicles 7, 1-3. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all of the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." When you have been touched by the fire, receive the revelation of the glory of God, and begin to worship in spirit and truth, it will not be long until you experience revival. The next three lessons deal with this subject of revival, which is another powerful motivator which mobilizes the people of God.